It would do us well to become as convinced about these things as was the Apostle Paul. But he's building this case now for his church. Verse 5, he says that he was seen by Cephas. Someday we will study about Cephas. And then by the 12 disciples. Verse 6, after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Some of them have died and some of them are still living. After that he was seen by James, then by the other apostles. And then Paul brings himself in here in verse 8. So he's building a strong case. There's distinctive evidence that this man, Jesus, he died, he lay in the tomb, and he came forth on time and on schedule. And because of that, Paul says, I delivered this message to you just like all the other apostles. We did this together, verse 10. It was not a singular doctrine of mine. And you accepted it. That's what he says. Verse 11. He says, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. I feel that way here as your speaker. I stand up on Sabbath and we go to certain topics and I do a lot of topical speaking. I know that. Sometimes we will take a passage and do some expository work with it, a little bit like today, I guess. But I know that many of you here have a foundation in faith that I didn't lay. I didn't build on it. But I'm in agreement with that, and we put that together, and hopefully it doesn't matter if you've learned it from someone else or you've learned it from me, but you've learned the doctrine of Christ that prepares you for heaven. That's Paul's argument here. I want you to understand that there is things that are clearly and distinctively established by Scripture and by the power of God and by other people, not just me. 1 Corinthians 15. When you read verses 12 down through verse 19 or 20, it becomes just a little wordy in there. And as you were reading, Lila, I was smiling inside because he builds a strong case here. He argues that if Christ did not come forth from the grave, there is no resurrection of the dead. And he turns it around the other way and he says, if there can be a resurrection of the dead, well then Christ must himself have been resurrected. I wish sometimes he would just say things in a plainer way, but that's what he was getting at. But verse 17 is my focus for today. I'm asking the question, have you ever thought of what life would be like if Christ had not come forth out of the tomb? First of all, you cannot answer that question because you might not even be here. The movement of Christianity forced a lot of things historically into being, including migration, including reformation, including persecution, including the establishment of this country, if you please. The United States was heavily influenced by the Protestant movement coming out of Europe. Some of those great principles are still built into our, quote, institution of law today. Are you aware that it's against the law to steal because it's in the Ten Commandments? It's against the law to murder because it's in the Ten Commandments. And you can go down through many things that way. Christianity has a strong influence in the whole economy of North America. But if Christ had not arisen, you just might not even be here today. But you are here. We're looking at the question, what if Christ had not arisen? He says in verse 17, first of all, and this is a biblical answer, he says, your faith is futile. Big exclamation point there. And he says, you are still in your sins. There were people there listening to the Apostle Paul who were almost as bad as he was. If you read the first part of this chapter, Paul's talking about how that he was a mean, bad dude in the beginning. He persecuted the people of God, and he carried that scar with him throughout his entire life. He was embarrassed because he had been mean to the Christian people. He felt badly. He had been a party to taking some of their lives. He tried to make up for it, but he was always very much aware that he had persecuted the people of God, the movement of God, had hurt Jesus Christ himself. But he was always aware of the fact that he was embraced. Even though he had committed those atrocities, he was embraced by the loving arms of Christ. He was forgiven. Nowhere in his writings do you find any doubt as to his standing before God. He could say, I'm the chiefest of sinners, but I'm also the one that drinks from the mighty fountain of grace. He says to the people, if Christ has not come forth from the tomb, then you are still in your sins. Just think for a moment what that might mean for you. That your sins are still with you. I know some of your stories. If there's no such thing as this risen Savior, well then the Christian life that you present here in being a changed person could not be presented that way. Without the change of heart that changes motive and desires, without a faith-based change, you would still be practicing some of the same old lifestyle habits that God took away from you. If you stole candy from babies, you would still be stealing candy from babies. If you wives were beating up on your husbands in spousal abuse, you would still be doing it. If you were a thief, you would still be a thief. And the list could go on and on. But because of the risen Savior, because of power, your sins are forgiven. Hey, several things here. Let me move on. Please don't hold me up. Notice verse 18. He says something else, and Bruce, you so eloquently stated this earlier in what you said as you asked for prayer. Paul says, if Christ has not risen, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. There are millions of people today who do not believe in any kind of an afterlife. I promise you. They are missing out on a tremendous blessing. But Paul says here, remember what we have spoken of in the resurrection? how the dead in Christ are asleep, but they will come forth at the right time, at the right moment when God chooses. He speaks and the graves open up. But if Christ had not risen from the tomb, if Christ had remained in that tomb, there would be no such thing as a resurrection. The cemeteries that you visit with graves of children or mom and dad or spouses or friends, it would just be a cold marble or granite marker stuck out there in the dirt. It would not be a marker or a memorial of God's protective care and provision for that place who was, for that person who was committed into God's care for the resurrection. There would be no preachers at a memorial service who would say, "You, by the grace of God, will see your loved one again." And as Bruce so eloquently said, "See them not as they were, but as God intended them to be." Talk about a day. You speak of an argument for the exit out of the tomb. Here it is. But Paul says, if there was no resurrection, then also all of those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most miserable, the most to be pitied, if you please. If we had no Christ today, can I be accurate if I say we have no hope? Yeah. The Bible that you read, the special places that you go when you feel down. Don't tell me you don't have them. We all have them. Some people act like they're always strong and brave spiritually and emotionally, but they're not. We all can be broken. We can cover it up at times probably pretty good. But there are times when you go to a song or you go to the Bible, you go to some place to get lifted up, to find something to lean into. But if Christ had not come out of the tomb, you would not have the whole benefit of Christian faith. What would you have? You would have nothing. Oh, you can embrace some philosophy. You can embrace some lifestyle habits without the teaching of Scripture. You can do those things for yourself. You may even teach those to your children. But what a distinct advantage it is if the power of God adds energy to what you're trying to do. And without the Scriptures, oh man, listen, friend, it would be a terrible loss. God has been so good to you. He's blessed you with this doctrine that not only was Christ the official Savior, but as He was placed in the tomb and the stone rolled across the entrance to the tomb, He stayed there the appropriate amount of time, and then He came out of the tomb. Just as Christ was given life. Now, I want to be careful here. And we could get hung up in semantics. And I'm not going to let you trap me up this morning. I'm not going to do it. He says, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again. I read also where he could not see through the portals of the tomb. I read also there was an element in there when as Christ was dying on the cross, feeling the weight of the sins of the whole world on him, he wasn't so sure that he had met the full demands of the holy law. But by saying all that, I know the rest of that part of the story. When on Sunday morning the stone was rolled away and Christ came forth, and as he says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, that includes this life and also the next life. You better believe it. I just wish in my humanness that he could somehow hurry up and come on. Whatever he needs to do, in my humanness, I want him to do it. And be it far from me, I don't want to hold up and delay the coming of Christ. If that's in the picture, Lord, take me out of the picture. You know, there are good people today who have given their lives to serving God, and the greatest hope they have is what I'm sharing with you today. If Christ had not risen out of that tomb, men and women could not go to bed in the evening believing that if I live, I'm going to have God's blessing, but also if I die, I'm going to have God's blessing. I asked permission earlier today to share this with you. We have Tim up in the sound booth. Like others here, Tim doesn't feel well all the time. Giving years of service for God's work. Malaria doesn't spare the workers. The only permanent cure for that is what I'm trying to get across here today, is the power of God. Call it the resurrection. Call it whatever you want to, but it's the work of God that's going to take care of. I spoke to Don earlier today. She is struggling with an autoimmune disease. We've prayed for you. You always have a pleasant smile, a mother in Israel of courage. But I know enough about humanity. Here is this couple who would grow old and die without any hope if it wasn't for the story that we're speaking of this morning of Christ coming out of the tomb. The only hope they have, Tim, and the hope they have of their son, is that which they can't see, they can't touch. But they read about it in this book. And they know the power of God is real. Now listen to me. Because they see God alive in you. You ask me how I know God is real. Ask me how I came to the conclusion that all this is true. I was taught it. Fortunate to have a daddy and a mother who were of the Christian faith. I've heard this story all my life. But it was only when I experienced it for myself And God took away some things. It was a miracle, a divine miracle. When a man or a woman is changed by what we call the new birth and conversion, the process begins. Let's put it that way. That's the greatest evidence to me that all this story is true. But for Tim and Don and for the rest of us, we're all in this together. We want to go from here into eternity. And if it wasn't for this story right here that we celebrate this weekend, we would not have that story. This tomb is empty. Praise the Lord for it, yes. And heaven is filled with His presence. And you also, now I got to be careful here, but the Holy Spirit is to be in you. Right? You are to be the temple. God gives the Holy Spirit in a measure to us. And together someday when He comes, we walk into eternity. Without this story, there would be no such thing as communion that we had just a short while ago. There would be no reason to ask for a new start. Lord, I want a miniature baptism. I've not lived as I should. And so the washing of feet, the whole meaning of that would be gone. The trouble that is taken for the white linen and the table and the shiny implements here and the bread and the wine being prepared. There would be no reason to even think about Christ's broken body and His blood for us. All that would be gone. This hymnal right here, filled with beautiful music, you would not be singing these songs. Amazing Grace. How beautiful heaven must be because He lives on higher ground. What a friend we have in Jesus. Shall we gather at the river when peace like a river? I mean, there's hundreds of songs. You wouldn't be able to sing any of these songs. Listen to me. You would be going around the house saying, ta 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 ta. I want to ta 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 ba 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 ta ta. I didn't even know I could do that. I guess you could find Christ in rap music. I don't know. I can't understand. But you would not have this music. Beth would not be playing these songs over here. Now, there are some secular music pieces that warm the soul and encourage the heart. I agree. But I still believe it's the power of God that creates the good sound. He's the author of music, isn't He? Satan has adulterated it. Messed it all up. There wouldn't even be a baptism if Christ had not arisen. Because when a person goes down into the water and he comes back up again, that symbolizes the resurrection. There wouldn't be any of that. If Christ had not arisen, the Christian faith is gone. And you would be most miserable. To be pitied. God's given you a great gift, people. Just in a knowledge of a risen Savior. He's given you a great gift in saying to you, I want to be with you. And whether you live or die, whether you have autoimmune disease or whether you have cancer. He says, I'm greater than all of that. I'm more powerful than that. Stay with me a little while, he says, and I'm coming back. And I'm going to gather my people. I'm going to shield my people. I'm going to honor my people. I'm going to give my people a new body and a new name and new power. That which you've seen by faith, he's going to give it to us in reality. Don't you miss it. Don't miss it. It would be okay this Sunday morning to wake up and give a sacred thought on Sunday morning to the holiness of what happened there at the tomb. I'm going to be over at the hospital Sunday morning giving a talk to a couple of groups of people, and this is exactly what I want to talk about. I believe in the empty tomb, and therefore I can believe in Christ in heaven. And I can believe in the Holy Spirit in you. And the evidence I have that this book is true, that it's not just written by a group of fanatics, to me is demonstrated in the beautiful lives that you people live in kindness and honor and integrity, and a desire to do what's right to God and to each other. And I know what I've experienced myself. Now, God help us to be more like Him.